Hi everyone, this is Nina Amir, the Inspiration to Creation Coach and the author of the best-selling books, How to Blog a Book, the Author Training Manual, and 3 Kindle eBooks. I'm here today talking about publishing. In fact, we're specifically talking about hybrid publishing. This is an extremely viable option for many, many authors today. And so I want you to understand more about it so that you can decide if it's the right choice for you. I'm honored to speak with Brooke Warner, co-founder of She Writes Press today. Brooke is the publisher and the co-founder and president of Warner Coaching, Inc. Oh, I'm sorry, she's the founder. She's the co-founder of She Writes Press and the founder and president of Warner Coaching, Inc., where she specializes in helping writers get published. In her 14 years in the publishing industry, including 8 years as executive editor at Seal Press, Brooke has shepherded hundreds of books through the publication process. Her expertise is in traditional and new publishing, and she's a champion of all writers committed to making their dream of publishing a book a reality. Brooke mentors memoirists in her biannual course, Write Your Memoir in 6 Months. And she sits on the boards of the Independent Publishers Association as an executive board member, the National Association of Memoir Writers, and She Writes. She's the author of What's Your Book? A Step-by-Step Guide to Get You from Inspiration to Published Author. I like anything that inspires people, so that's great. And How to Sell Your Memoir, 12 Steps to a Perfect Book Proposal. So welcome, Brooke.
Thank you for having me.
It is my honor and my pleasure. And I love the chance to talk to you outside of a conference setting. So I consider you a friend and a colleague, and it's always nice to see you and to chat with you.
I agree.
All right. So before we begin, can you tell us a little bit about She Writes Press, its history, its purpose, latest developments? You know, I understand you've signed your 100th author this year, so congratulations. And last year, I know you created a partnership that really sets your publishing company apart. So tell us a little bit about all of that.
So She Writes Press really was born, I was at Seal Press and I was frustrated and a little bit disillusioned with the traditional publishing industry. I was in a situation of, I was an executive editor, rejecting a lot of good books on a regular basis and feeling this momentum at the same time around self-publishing and seeing a lot of the mistakes that authors were making self-publishing. And so around that time, other hybrid presses were coming up. I saw this movement toward hybrid, which meant, you know, something in the gray zone between traditional and self-publishing. And so I contacted Kami Wyckoff, who's the founder of She Writes, and I said, you know, this is a perfect platform for creating a hybrid press. Can we do something like this? Would you be interested in something like this? And it was interesting because she had been approached before to do something similar, but the people who had approached her had never had that feminine sensibility that I was bringing because of coming from Seal Press, which is a women's press. And so we forged forward on this idea and founded the press in 2011. And really, it just took off. I mean, what's so clear is that it did fill a need that a lot of authors out there want support in publishing. Our model is beyond assisted self-publishing, however, because we vet our manuscripts, we curate the list. Last year, as you mentioned in the introduction, I forged a partnership with Ingram Publisher Services, which is traditional distribution. And it's important that people know the difference between Ingram and Ingram Publisher Services, because when I talk to a lot of people, they say, oh, well, I have Ingram, and so it's fine. And it's just, it's a nuanced conversation, because when you have traditional distribution, what you have is a sales force who is selling your books into the marketplace. It positions us more like a traditional publisher, even though I don't claim or try to say that we are traditional, which is why I like hybrid. You know, we are between, the author still has more control and the author keeps much more of their proceeds on the tail end. We've now signed over 120 authors.
Wow.
It's been very well received, and we were acquired last year by Sparkpoint Studio. And so this partnership has been more like a merger than an acquisition because we're fully intact. But what it means is that we have more resources, a bigger team, and more capacity to grow. So we're in a really fun and I would say pretty cutting edge place in the publishing industry. And it's been a wild 3 years.
I bet it has. So for those who don't really understand hybrid publishing, what is a hybrid publisher?
A hybrid publisher is any publisher, in my opinion, anyway, that that is not fully traditional but is not self-publishing. I also think that there are things that hybrid is not. You know, like there are a lot of companies out there that do assisted self-publishing, like the Author Solutions imprints, for instance. To me, they are not hybrid. They're a service. A hybrid company really should have the author's interest at heart. I like the hybrid publishing companies that have a publisher at the helm, that have some kind of mission in place. It also, some of them have traditional distribution and some don't. The authors always keep a higher percentage on the tail end because they're investing up front. And so it's more of a collaboration. Lots of people have called us partnership publishers, and I like that term a lot. I am happy to own partnership publishing, hybrid publishing. But it is a gray zone, and it's something that we've actually been involved in trying to define as we figure out what this space is. And some hybrid publishers want to claim the title of traditional publisher, and that's just something that we never have been particularly interested in doing. We want to say, look, we're hybrid, what we're doing is different, and it's okay, and we want the publishing industry to embrace us and to legitimize our efforts. And a lot of what I've been working on in the last couple years have been taking strides to make that happen.
And so there are a lot of different types of hybrid publishers, different models by which they, you know, operate. Can you tell us about the model that she writes uses? And, you know, is it sort of standard, if there is such a thing as standard in the hybrid world, or is it different?
Yeah, I don't know that there is standard in the hybrid world, because all of us who are founding these hybrid presses, we're coming to it with our own ideas. I didn't really have anyone telling me, oh, you should do this, that, or the other. We didn't start out with traditional distribution. Someone said, look, Brooke, if you guys want to be legitimate in the publishing space, you need to get traditional distribution. So our model was always pay up front and get more proceeds on the tail end, you know, keep the majority of your profits kind of arrangement. And that to me was hybrid. You know, it was just like, it's different. It's not self-publishing because you have a, you know, an expert publisher, someone who comes out of the industry, but it looked a lot more like assisted self-publishing than we do today. You know, I would say like we started out, if there's a continuum self to traditional, we were more on the side of self. And as we've progressed, really as a result of our authors' needs and desires, we've pushed ourselves more on that continuum toward traditional. And then all these different hybrid presses that are popping up, you know, they just have people who are coming to it from different parts of the industry. I come out of traditional publishing. There are people who come out of distribution. There are people who come out of marketing. And so the emphases can be different depending on the person who founded it and what their expertise is.
So maybe you could just tell me, so I understand that they're paying something up front. What kind of services are you providing for them?
Everything. I mean, I took the model at Seal and basically co-opted it and put it on top of She Writes. You know, I just was like, okay, look, this works. I know traditional publishing. Why would I do any process that is different than this? Because I had been at that job for 8 years and I knew the process really, really well. And most traditional publishers outsource the majority of their editorial, their design. So I had this amazing stable of designers and copy editors to draw from. And basically, I say this all the time, and I think it's true, you know, that if you come through She Writes Press, your experience in terms of the production is going to feel very similar to a traditional small press. And the ways in which we're different is that we don't have an in-house marketing and publicity team. Our authors are hiring their own publicists, and so we want to communicate with those people. And what BookSparks brings, or SparkPoint, who acquired us, one of their branches is called BookSparks, and that branch is a publicity arm. And so what it allows for us now is to have an in-house publicity solution, but it is in addition to the publishing package. So the author is basically deciding, you know, how do I want to be positioned? You know, do I want to go all out? Do I want to go more modest? And what I like about that is that the author has more control, because in a traditional house, you don't get to decide if you're an A list title or a B list. You know, your publisher decides for you. And in our case, we say, look, you know, depending on your marketing campaign and what you have going on, you can position yourself, and then we can get your book out into the marketplace in, you know, a bigger or a more modest way. And we talk about the pros and cons of that with our authors.
So how does a hybrid publisher really differ? Because it sounds, as you said, like you're very similar to a traditional publisher. So how do you differ from a traditional publisher or somebody who wants to self-publish? I mean, what is the main difference?
At this point, the biggest difference, and perhaps the only difference, is that the author pays up front. So it's very interesting, because when I was working in traditional publishing, I started at North Atlantic Books, and North Atlantic had a contract that was called the distribution contract. And what that contract was basically just using North Atlantic as a distribution partner. And they are a traditional publisher, but they provide this distribution service to some of their clients and publish their books. And really what we're doing is exactly the same as that. And it's why I get frustrated by some of the industry bias that I see sometimes around, like, well, if you pay for your work in any shape or form, you don't qualify for contests, you don't qualify for reviews. You know, there's a number of ways in which the industry is trying to ghettoize self-publishers or self-published authors. And I have really taken up the mantle on that, just because I think that it's not a good measure. it doesn't make sense to me. So at this point, that is the difference, you know, but of course it's like they're investing in their work, but it's important to note that they're keeping the majority of the proceeds. It's 60% on print and 80% on the eBooks. So if the book does well, the author really stands to gain quite tremendously. If it fails, we're sharing that risk, or the author is carrying most of that risk.
Right. Okay. So what kind of an author should opt for hybrid publishing? I mean, is there somebody who's, you know, what they have certain characteristics that make them well suited to hybrid publishing?
I mean, it's interesting, because I would say there are two sides to the coin on that one. One is the entrepreneurial author who has some business acumen, who wants to enter into something like this and feels like they do it because it's a business decision. I have a lot of authors who I've worked with over the years who've been traditionally published. You know, they get a small advance, like $5,000. They never earn it out. And they can't understand there's not much transparency in traditional publishing. In our situation, there's a lot of transparency. Authors can get a lot of information. And so they appreciate that part of it, which is the partnership part. There's more collaboration. And the other person is, you know, someone who is not necessarily business savvy and who wants more handholding. They don't want to self-publish because they don't want to reinvent the wheel. You know, in our case, we have a creative director. We have gorgeous covers. We're doing fantastic interiors. We have a high editorial standard. And so there are lots of people who are coming to us that are not business-minded at all necessarily, but who really want that publishing expertise and also just that legitimacy of all the relationships that we've forged, which stem from my relationships in publishing.
Right. All right. That's a very good way to categorize it, I think. That makes it very clear. So is there something that writers should consider as they think about what type of publishing track they take, you know, whether it's going to be hybrid, the indie route, self-publishing, or traditional? I mean, how can they best decide what's good for them and their book?
Well, it's an interesting question. I think that most authors today still want a traditional contract, and I don't begrudge them that. I think it makes a lot of sense, and that's not the reason that I formed She Writes Press. I didn't say, ooh, I'm going to create this press that's an alternative, and I'm going to try to bar people from getting traditional contracts. Not at all. The real issue here is that people are not getting the traditional publishing deals, you know, that the traditional publishing industry is contracting so much. So we're mostly getting people who feel like, I have a really great book. I know I have a great book, but I can't get agented. Or sometimes they are getting agented and their agent can't sell the book. That's actually the vast majority of our list. And they're not selling the book, not because the book isn't well written, but because publishers don't like grief. You know, they don't like certain categories. They recently published a book in the same vein. You know, all the reasons that people get rejected that don't speak to the quality of the book. And again, because I was an acquisitions editor, I was in that role every day. You know, every day I would see a book where I'm just like, oh my gosh, the writing is gorgeous. Too bad we can't publish this. Right. Because there was no author platform, because they didn't have strong enough marketing plan, you know, a number of reasons. And so we're solely editorially based. We really like the merit, and it's based on the merit of the manuscript only. And so if an author has no platform, they can publish with us, and they can use us as a springboard into traditional publishing. And I always wanted to be that. I wanted to be an alternative. And so a lot of people come to us and say, oh, well, I'm simultaneously shopping, you know, an agent and a publisher. And then if that falls through for them, they may publish with us. But interestingly, we've also had a number of authors, about 8 or 9, who have turned down traditional deals to publish with us because the traditional deal was not attractive enough. So we have every kind of author, and we also have authors whose books are being declared out of print. I mean, this is I'm sure you know this, but a lot of big publishers take hardcovers, right? They publish a hardcover, the hardcover doesn't perform the way they had hoped, and then they don't publish the paperback. And the authors are devastated because the paperback is the one that was going to have the traction,
right?
But the publisher doesn't want to take the risk. And so now we've done 3 of these deals where we are publishing the paperback of a hardcover that a traditional publisher just dropped.
Wow. Okay, so whether they were to go with She Writes or some other hybrid, these are reasons why they might want to choose a hybrid.
Yeah, we have all kinds of authors coming to us for different kinds of reasons. And, you know, it's interesting to see the range of people, from people who know very little about publishing to people who are truly experts. They've been in and around the block and they like what we have to offer, mostly because of the traditional distribution and the quality of our books.
Right. Well, I would also think that the fact that you're focused primarily on the quality of the book, the quality of the manuscript, and not on platform and, you know, marketing plan and all those things is also very attractive, because that's, you know, I work with authors all the time and speak all over the place, and that is what they don't want to do. They don't want to be focused on that.
Yeah, and you have to be, and you know, because you teach marketing and you explain that to them, but some people, I believe this to be true, that a book can be a big platform builder. Some people are just trying to break through the noise, and they're like, how do I do this? How do I do this? And I believe that having a book is one way to do it, because it immediately legitimizes you. It can be a first effort. So it's a big deal, and I teach that all the time, you know, that a book is a very strong way to build a platform.
Right. So how does somebody submit to She Writes or to, you know, I'm assuming it's probably pretty similar with most hybrids. Do you need an agent, or is it non-agented? Do they use a query or a query plus a proposal, or how does it work?
We have a submissions process that's on our website. So if you go to shewritespress.com, you can look at submit. We actually do charge $25 for that service, and the reason is because we give an assessment. And I felt that that was also really important. I mean, I kind of was doing all the things that I felt I wished I could do, or that other editors could do at big presses. Oftentimes you don't get any sense of why your book is being rejected. You just get that form letter, and everyone receives the same thing, and authors are frustrated by that. And so my idea was, we would give the authors an assessment of their work and then place them on a track. And that was something that I just thought of as part of our process. And because I knew how much authors value an assessment, and that the $25 is not a profit thing for us, we pass that $25 along to the various readers that we have, all of whom are agents and editors in the traditional publishing world, connections of mine, who are happy to just get $25 to read a manuscript. It's not a manuscript. They read 20 pages and a query letter. And then based on that, we put them on a track, either track one, two, or three. And those tracks represent, we think it's ready to publish, we think it needs a copy edit, or we think it needs a developmental edit. And then we give our analysis and our rationale for that. And, you know, there's been a handful of authors who have disagreed with our assessment, but, you know, out of many, many, many submissions, most authors are just thrilled to get that assessment, and then they decide what they want to do from there.
Okay, so there's no proposal, just a query and a manuscript.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, pretty simple. But that's probably not the case with all hybrids, right?
Yeah, I don't know what other submissions processes look like, but ours, again, you know, we didn't need the proposal because there's no case to be made on the marketing side.
Right.
So for us, it's about the merit of the writing. And so we wanted to see those first 20 pages. And, you know, some people have said, well, what if the book deteriorates after 20 pages? But we have some measures in place that we proofread every single book. And so if the proofreader is reading the book and after 20 pages it falls apart, we can talk to the author about that. And every author we work with understands that the editorial conversation is the most important conversation, that we want to have really high quality books at the end.
Right. Okay. So it sounds to me like you're looking for good writers with good ideas. Whereas I think that in traditional publishing, and you probably, you know, I'm sure you know this as well as I do, they really are looking also for good business partners. And that's where the platform and the promotion comes in, right? Because basically an author goes to a traditional publisher and says, I want you to be my venture capital partner. I want you to fund my project. And
exactly.
So they want somebody who's going to not only produce a marketable product, but help sell it. In your case, you're looking more for just the quality of the product, right?
Yeah, and in some ways, I think that takes us back to an older time in publishing when that's why books were published a long time ago, but it's now not the case. And I understand it, of course, from the publishing perspective because I was in it. You know, they're taking a huge risk, and I don't think authors realize how much of a risk that the publishers take when they take on these books, or the percentage, you know, that 90% of all books don't earn out the advance. I mean, publishing is just a really, really tough industry, and it doesn't, I'm not sure that it works anymore in the way that it was originally established. And some of those big houses are making it work, but they're throwing money after brands. You know, they're not throwing money after necessarily super good quality books. Of course, there's some exceptions. You know, there are amazing novels, of course, and amazing memoirs coming out. But what it just makes it the case that it's much more competitive. And there are, you know, amazing, beautiful books that big publishers just simply will not take risks on.
Right. And that's why it has become so competitive, that they're just not willing to take the risk.
Mm-hmm.
So what would you say are a few things that writers can do that will set them apart from the pack when they submit? And I'm talking about submitting to you as a hybrid publisher, but also just in general.
Yeah, I mean, for us, what sets them apart, honestly, I mean, I don't feel, you know, that anyone who gets a track two or track three recommendation at She Writes Press should feel badly about it. I think everybody needs to be copy edited, actually. And that working with a developmental editor is all about improving your work. It's simply that we determine whether we think a book is published ready. And so what sets, you know, people can set themselves apart by being personable, by saying that they want to work with us. But at the end of the day, you know, because we're charging for a service, I mean, I want to work with good authors and sane people. but it's, you know, there's not really anything that they can do, because it's just saying, look, do you want to publish with us? This is what we have. And do you want to be part of our team? And that's very different, of course, for traditional publishing. I mean, I still, in my coaching practice, really help people work on proposals. In fact, I ghostwrite proposals. I love the book proposal, because when I was, you know, all my years in publishing, it was such a valuable tool for me. And so I try to teach people how something, you know, really amazing. And there are lots of ways that authors can make themselves stand out with a proposal, but because we don't require that, you know, it's just not something that is necessary for She Writes Press, but obviously very necessary for traditional.
Right. Well, actually, as you know, my book, The Author Training Manual, teaches authors that going through that process of producing a book proposal, even if they're going to self-publish, or if they were to go hybrid, it helps them produce a marketable book. It's just it's a business plan for their book. No matter how they publish it, helps them refine their idea and craft an idea that will sell. So.
And I love that. I love that you promote authors or, you know, encourage authors to do that regardless, because I completely agree with you. I think that everyone I've ever known who has done the hard work to do it, it's very eye-opening around their book and their positioning and what they want to do. And the marketing plan opens up a lot of ideas. And it's very interesting because oftentimes I hear back from clients that I'm working with, like, oh my gosh, I didn't know I knew so many people. Oh my gosh, I didn't, you know, I forgot about this. So it's such a good exercise.
Right, for sure. Well, and also just looking at the other books, spending time looking at the competition to see how your book measures up. And if there are ways to improve it, it isn't just a, you know, eye-opening in terms of, you know, oh, there's so many other books out there and somebody's already done it. And not that, it's the, how did they do it? What made this book successful? And what made this book unsuccessful? And how can I incorporate the aspects that made this one successful and avoid the ones that made this one unsuccessful with my book so that it's unique and necessary? And to me, that's a big part of setting yourself apart from the pack.
I agree. Yeah, we're on the same page on that one.
So what about authors? What makes them successful? What characteristics or actions do they need to have or take in order to succeed in the publishing world?
I think it's a lot about stamina. There's so many things. I mean, stamina, follow through, real dedication to the craft, open-mindedness, you know, what we were talking about just now with marketing. A lot of people may say, oh, I don't want to do that. I wish I didn't have to do that. But at the end of the day, that kind of doesn't matter. You know, if you want to be successful, I think it's just this curiosity, like instead of just being like, oh, I hate Twitter. Well, try it out. You know, do you know that you hate it? And then if you really do decide after you've tried it out, then maybe try a different social platform. So I think just coming to things in an open-hearted way, I mean, I really believe that generosity is important with authors, and that is a value, and it's also a personality trait. But I think that the more open you are, the more successful you're going to be. The people I've known who have been very, you know, closed off, jealous, paranoid, they don't, I mean, some of them succeed, unfortunately, but mostly not, right? So I think there's just some things to kind of approach your publishing experience as you would just a journey that you're taking, something that you're really excited about, and that it's, you know, it's going to have hills and valleys like anything else. So I always encourage people just to, this idea of reciprocity too is a big one, you know, encouraging other authors, championing other authors, because once you get into that, you're a sisterhood or a brotherhood, and it makes sense to be part of the pact, or part of the pack, excuse me. And so those kinds of things, I mean, they seem kind of obvious, but, you know, not everybody adheres to those ideas and values.
Right. And what about marketing? What are the most important things? I mean, I know that She Writes doesn't require platform in advance, but what are the most important things or the things you see working in terms of developing author platform and marketing books?
It's so much about community, I think. I mean, there's many, many different ways, of course, to go about marketing. You can get support for marketing. But I really believe in the basic tenet of just starting conversations and really sticking to the thing that you're interested in. It should, you know, if it's about your book, of course, have to do with your book. I see a lot of people who are like, oh, I'm writing, you know, on X topic, and then they're blogging on something totally different, and they don't understand why people aren't coming. So there's something about getting really clear on your message, about being consistent. That's another thing. You know, people who are like on social media all the time, and then next week, nothing, you know all these things. So I think there's there's a lot of, you know, just, I think there's a lot about getting the foundation down. And I really think if people are overwhelmed or don't understand marketing, they should work with someone like you or someone who gets it to get them some, like, in essence, like, let's get your baseline established, you know? And then if you have that baseline and things are like churning and working well, then you can build into creative and new things. But I don't think you can do creative and new things if you don't have a foundation.
Right. Right. For sure. Well, and I think that it's that foundation, that's what builds the platform. And without that, it's the promotion doesn't work.
Yeah.
Are there certain things that your authors are doing to promote their books that are working?
Authors are doing, I mean, there's a lot of creative ideas out there. I mean, people are still really, content partnerships, I think, are big, you know, getting op-eds, getting guest blog posts out there. I mean, it requires a lot of writing. That's the thing. Like, some authors are just like, oh my God, I just finished my book. Really? Now I have to do op-eds and guest posts. But the answer is yes, you do. And blog tours are still popular for certain kinds of books, not all books. But I find, like, in the memoir community, and especially in parenting, you know, there's a lot of particular communities that are very supportive of one another. And so for those people, blog tours are working really well. You know, of course, just like true publicity always works. You know, we had an author in O Magazine and we had an author in People Magazine, and those, we really saw a spike right after that. Those aren't easy things to just get, you know, and that does not really platform, but it's just a note. You know, so there's a difference between platform building and publicity. But, you know, authors who are just dedicated and passionate. And I think this idea of being generous to other people and, you know, retweeting and promoting other people, those things have seemed to me to yield a lot in terms of just good, good feeling.
Right. Right. Great tip. So how can an aspiring author evaluate a hybrid publisher, especially since some of them haven't been around very long? Right? May not have a track record, and there's so much difference between them.
Yeah, it's a great question. I think the only way at this point probably is to get the experience of other authors who have already gone through, and to interview more than a couple, to talk to the person in charge, to ask good questions, to look at the books, of course, that have been published. To look at whether or not they have traditional distribution and who is that distribution partner. Because again, I think distribution is one of these things that's very complex for people. Some people claim to have distribution, but they don't really have distribution. And I've seen that a lot. And I don't know if it's an intentional misleading or if they believe they have distribution. But regardless, you know, they're more and more, my experience is that the hybrid publishers have traditional distribution. And I think, you know, if I were to qualify traditional, or excuse me, hybrid publishing at this point, I would say they should have traditional distribution. So all of those things, you know, just having I say when people hire a publicist that they should have, you know, do you actually like the person and people you're going to be working with? Do you trust them? So getting on the phone and making sure that you have a conversation, and then, you know, interviewing some other authors who've gone through the process.
Okay. Super.
Pretty easy.
Yeah. Okay. And any last tips or bits of advice for aspiring authors, you know, just in general or related to hybrid publishing, whatever tips you have that you want to conclude with?
I always want to conclude with the message to do it. You know, if people are on the fence and they're feeling discouraged, because I work with a lot of people who have been trying to get their book published for a long time, they may have some success in the sense that they may have gotten picked up by an agent. But there's a question in my mind about how long are you going to be on this journey before you give yourself the permission just to move forward and publish your book. And it's not inexpensive to hybrid publish, you know, and it's not the only way to publish. But I really believe that anyone who's working on a book and feels passionate about their book at the end of the day should publish that book. So for people who have been, you know, sitting on it, or, you know, 6 years out shopping an agent, or who have been on the fence because they're scared, just initiate some conversations. You know, you don't have to commit, but you can get an assessment through She Writes Press, or just take some steps to legitimize, yes, you know, I have something and I really want it to be out there. I don't know a single author on our list who's regretted having published their book. And that's a big thing, you know, so that's what I leave authors with. Just go for it.
This is great advice. Okay, so how can our listeners and our viewers find out more about you and about She Writes Press?
She Writes Press has a website, shewritespress.com, and She Writes is our platform for writers. So that's one thing I would also suggest. It is for women, but men are on there. So it's not exclusive. It just is, you know, geared toward women. And you can create a free profile. We have amazing content on that site. So I highly recommend joining that for free. Myself, my own website is warnercoaching.com, where you can find out more about me. And also I have that writeyourmemoirin6months.com if there are memoirists out there who are interested in memoir programming, because we do a 6-month class. I teach that with Linda Joy Myers of the National Association of Memoir Writers. But we also have 1-month classes and tons of free calls. So, you know, memoir is kind of my pet genre. So in addition to everything that I do a lot with memoir. And so that's kind of the terrain.
Okay, great. So I suggest everybody check out She Writes Press and go to Brooke's site. Say your site again, Warner Coaching?
Warner Coaching,
Warner Coaching.
But it's also under brookwarner.com. So I'm easy to find if you Google me.
Okay, great. So everybody check out She Writes Press and Brooke Warner. And see whether hybrid publishing is the right choice for you. So I think that's it. I've run out of questions, but you've covered
it. All right. Well, thank you so much for having me. And it's a pleasure always.
Yes.
Love to talk about publishing.
Yes, I do too. And hybrid publishing is such an interesting area of publishing right now. So I think it's exciting. And I hope that some of the people listening will consider hybrid publishing as an option. So thank you for educating them and sharing your time and your wisdom. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure, Nina. Thank you.
Thank you. So everybody, this is Nina Amir, the Inspiration to Creation Coach. Go out and achieve more inspired results.